Breaking news in the Golf Channel on this Wednesday as Patrick Reed has announced his intention to leave LIV Golf and play on the PGA Tour. The 2018 Masters champ was one of the earliest recruits to LIV, joining in June of 2022. This statement from the PGA Tour: Patrick Reed has informed the PGA Tour of his desire to return. A 9-time PGA Tour winner, he is seeking reinstatement of his PGA Tour membership for the 2027 season, playing out of the past champion category. As a result of resigning his membership in 2022 prior to violating any PGA Tour regulations, Patrick is eligible to compete on the PGA Tour as a non-member beginning on August 25th, 2026. He may also pursue improved PGA Tour status via the DP World Tour. Similar to anyone reinstated under the returning member program, any former PGA Tour member returning to the PGA Tour would be ineligible for participation in the Player Equity Program through 2030. This statement from Patrick Reed: after careful thought and consideration, my family and I have decided that I will no longer compete on the LIV Golf Tour. I am excited to announce that I am returning to the PGA Tour as a past champion member for the 2027 season and am eligible to begin competing in PGA Tour events later this year. I will continue to compete and play as an honorary lifetime member on the DP World Tour, which is something that I am truly honored and excited to do. I'm a traditionalist at heart, and I was born to play on the PGA Tour, which is where my story began with my wife, Justine. I am very fortunate for the opportunities that have come my way and grateful for the life we have created. I am moving forward in my career. I look forward to competing on the PGA Tour and DP World Tour. I can't wait to get back out there and revisit some of the best places on earth. I want to thank everyone involved for helping me make this decision. Over the last 4 years, I have learned a lot about myself, about who I am and who I am not. And for that, I am forever grateful. To Dustin Johnson, the Aces, and LIV Golf, I want to thank you for the memories we shared and created together. To golf fans around the world, I just want to thank you all for your continued support over the years. I just ask that you respect the decision we have made for our family, our children, and our future. Thank you for your continued support. Damon Hack alongside Eamon Lynch on this Wednesday, more than 2 weeks after Brooks Koepka announced his intention to return to the PGA Tour. Patrick Reed has followed suit.
Yeah, I think there are two things that come to mind here. One is that the PGA Tour is taking every opportunity to further weaken LIV Golf and to create this narrative that it's a failed enterprise. And the other thing I think is true is that this will be a tougher sell at a locker room level than the Koepka thing was. And on that first point, I think clearly it will be perceived differently. Brooks Koepka left his contract a year early to come back to the PGA Tour. Patrick Reed left because LIV isn't willing to pay him anymore. He was out of contract. There was no sacrifice at Patrick Reed's end. Now, it's a little different in his sense that he never violated any PGA Tour regulations, which I think is a key part of this. He resigned his membership before he ever played a LIV event. A lot of other guys didn't, and that will be a trickier pathway back for a lot of those guys as well. But I think the Tour is creating and encouraging a narrative here that LIV is signing little-known players while losing well-known stars. Mm. And that's the money may still be there. If Yasser Al-Rumayyan tries to write a large check to Bryson or to somebody else, the money is still there, but it's a failed enterprise. The model doesn't work. And all of the army of bots and bootlickers that LIV has assembled over the years will not actually change that reality. But it's going to be really interesting to see how this is perceived in the locker room, because everyone out there has a tremendous amount of respect for Patrick Reed as a competitor and as a golfer. But he's not popular in the locker room. The team around him is even less popular in the locker room, and his conduct over the years has been controversial as well. So I do think it's going to be a tougher sell for Brian Rolapp and his team in the locker room than Koepka was, because Koepka always kind of remained sort of personally popular with his peers. But in his defence, Reed wasn't never a litigant either in the antitrust lawsuits that LIV filed with 11 players against the PGA Tour in 2022. He never signed on to any of that. He'd left the Tour, resigned his membership. So there are protocols in place, there are policies being followed, there are procedures being followed. But the intangible here is the emotion. And there's always a lot of emotion associated around Patrick Reed.
Yeah, it's notable he's not eligible for the returning member program. He won his Masters in 2018. The returning member program, you have to have won the Players or a major championship since 2022. You note that this could be a tougher sell in the locker room. But these are two huge names coming back to the PGA Tour over a two-week-plus period. I guess the next question is this becoming a domino situation where if not Bryson, Rahm, and Cameron Smith over there, what, 2 or 3 days left to make their decision, February 2nd, for them, could we see other players following suit from LIV Golf with these two huge names making a monumental decision?
I don't see this as a floodgates situation at all. I see it as an opportunistic situation where the tour has been presented with an opportunity and has taken it. We're just looking at Brooks Koepka here out on the golf course at Torrey Pines. He is the big star this week. And it's very clear that the PGA Tour has driven home the fact that they did get Brooks Koepka back. You know, ESPN is coming in live with coverage early for the first time in decades, actually, of his first round tomorrow. And he's in a featured group straight away. So they are signaling that there is a welcome back for those top assets who do have a few days left, with Bryson, Rahm and Cam Smith have that option as well. They're not expected to actually take that. So then you move into the second tier of players. And I think the tour has taken this attitude that if you can draw away a recognizable name, then the opportunity should be taken to do that. And it does send a clear message because it's Patrick Reed. And there is that the whole controversy and lack of popularity around him, because the other guys in LIV are going to say, well, if they'll take him back, they'll certainly take me back.
Yeah.
Obviously, they draw the line at Phil Mickelson, but Patrick Reed is a controversial character in the locker room. Is he additive to their business? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because he always had this perception and leaned into it himself of being the villain of the piece. That was, I think, a reputation and a perception and a persona that Patrick Reed himself created and encouraged. The tour never did. The tour actively tried to discourage anybody else from kind of leaning into that perception as well. Perhaps when he does come back, they will actually encourage that as being an additive storyline to their overall product. But it's going to be good for their business.
Fascinating. Brooks Koepka, 35 years of age, a 9-time winner on the PGA Tour. Patrick Reed, 35 years of age, a 9-time winner on the PGA Tour. And you mentioned kind of the controversies that have followed Patrick Reed, but he's also had a number of highs. Go back to 2012. Mm-hmm. He was the feel-good story in golf. The guy who, you know, Monday qualified 6 times in 2012. He got his first PGA Tour win in a playoff, 2013, over Jordan Spieth. Quickly came into the fold as this Captain America, shushing Rory McIlroy in 2016. But you're right, there has been smoke and controversy as well. Rule situations, the Hero World Championship, for example, in the Bahamas 2019, the par 5 11th hole in a waste bunker, and most notably 2021, at the Farmers Insurance Open.
Yeah, and if you're a Brian Rolapp and you don't have any of that baggage and you're not from the golf ecosystem, you're going to look at a guy like this and say, well, he's actually great theater. He's good for business as long as you've got a product that's willing to lean into the idea that we do have villains. I'd be curious what Yasser Al-Rumayyan's view on this is. Clearly, LIV didn't value Patrick Reed that highly if they had not re-signed him. And he mentioned last week in his press conference at Dubai that he was out of contract. So clearly Reed was not a priority. But he can still be a loss for LIV at this point. And, you know, Yasser weaponized the disloyalty of these players. Now it's been weaponized against them. He's been finding that they're turning against him now in the way that he used them to turn against the tour.
Well, for more on this breaking story, we're going to turn to Ryan Lavner. Ryan, we appreciate your time, your initial reaction to this breaking news. Patrick Reed now coming back to the PGA Tour.
Yeah, guys, it certainly doesn't have the instant gratification of the Brooks Koepka news, but from my perspective, this is what it looks like on the PGA Tour to play offense. And we had the conversation on Monday on this very show just 2 days ago. If you're Brian Rolapp, it was worth a conversation with Patrick Reed to see what he's thinking for 2026 and beyond, because Patrick Reed in Dubai was pretty clearly signaling, guys, come and get me. The PGA Tour is the best tour in the world. I'm a free agent. I could play the DP World Tour this season, potentially get into the top 10 of the Race to Dubai standings and play in the PGA Tour in 2027. And it was obvious to me that he would have been additive to the PGA Tour product, because he doesn't just elevate the events competitively. It's pretty obvious that he does that, right? He's a top 30 player in the official World Golf ranking, despite not receiving any points for the tour that he plays on predominantly. But Eamon just brought it up in his point there. From an entertainment standpoint, he's very, very interesting. And if there's friction, that's a good thing. Brian Rolapp knows better than any of us, being from the NFL world, that that league is built on rivalries and animosity and competitive tension. That's a good thing for business. That's a good thing for the product. LIV Golf, since it launched in 2022, has swiped a lot of those characters. For the PGA Tour now to potentially implement those back as early as this fall is very, very additive to the overall PGA Tour business.
Yeah, Ryan, I guess we could call this another roll-up rendition as he gets another guy out of LIV and brings him back here. I'm of the mindset that this isn't going to open floodgates, that as opportunities arise with particular individuals, they may choose to call PGA Tour headquarters, some may not. Do you sense that there will be any other dominoes to fall? It certainly doesn't appear that Rahm or Cam Smith or DeChambeau are likely to take up the returning member program that Koepka did before the deadline next week.
Yeah, I think that's fair to assume, Eamon. And it's pretty clear that the PGA Tour has three or four players that they really wanted back, and they wanted to bring them back into the fold imminently, just as they're doing with Brooks Koepka this week. And then there's everyone else. And everyone else who went to LIV sort of has different rules, different regulations, different timelines for when they made that decision, when they resigned their membership, what other breaches they had of the PGA Tour regulations and the like. But Patrick Reed, I think, overall is and has been a very good player for more than a decade at this point, but he doesn't have the historical import. And so you could see why the PGA Tour wanted to blow past some of those stop lines, clear some of those obstacles to make it easier for them. But for a Patrick Reed, a top 25 player, what the tour wants to do at this point is restack pieces. They want to re-add depth to the PGA Tour. The flavor and the character that's been lost over the past couple of years, that's almost as important as gaining back some of these multi-major champions.
Lav, doesn't it feel like the PGA Tour has the conch now, if I can borrow a phrase from Lord of the Flies, and needs to play offense? And whether it's a returning member program or this situation for Patrick Reed, that it's an opportunity for the PGA Tour to be offensive, to be clinical, and to build its product in the way that it wants to do.
Yeah, I think Brian Rolapp is understanding that he needs to be purposeful and not necessarily punitive. Because the players who left the PGA Tour to go to LIV Golf, they may have been enriched financially, but they've also been impoverished in other ways. A lot of them, in the prime of their careers, are competing against lesser competition and less of a spotlight. And these are the very best players on the planet, and that has to be a little bit humbling. And if you're an alpha, if you're a Jon Rahm, a Brooks Koepka, a Bryson DeChambeau, that's not a situation that you necessarily want to be in. And so, if there are other examples of players who are potentially thinking that I want to get back on the PGA Tour, I don't think it's any accident that the PGA Tour's new tagline, their new mantra, the new slogan for the 2026 season is where the best belong. That is what they believe. And I think Brian Rolapp has made clear in these two moves and potentially others down the line, this is how they want to follow suit.
Yeah, one of the busiest Januaries that I can recall. Just got a little bit busier. Ryan, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
You got it, guys.
A little bit more now on the path back to the PGA Tour for Patrick Reed. Does not meet the criteria, as we've mentioned, for the returning member program, but currently eligible to return to the PGA Tour sanctioned competition as a non-member on August 25th, 2026. That's notable because he last played in an unauthorized event August 24th, 2025. That was the LIV Golf team event in Michigan. So once he does return, at the time, he'd be eligible to compete as a non-member in the FedEx Cup fall through open qualifying and or sponsor exemptions. While he retains exempt status from prior victories, that category cannot be used for a tournament entry as a non-member. He would be eligible to reinstate his PGA Tour membership in 2027 and play out of the past champion category. Additionally, as a DP World Tour member, Reed would be eligible to earn PGA Tour membership for the 2027 season via the DP World Tour Top 10. He's currently number two in that category. For more on this story, head out to San Diego and bring in our own Todd Lewis for reaction on the ground at Torrey Pines. Todd?
Well, Damon, I think the biggest surprise is not that Patrick Reed wanted to come back to the PGA Tour. It's that the PGA Tour offered him a pathway to come back to the PGA Tour, given what he has done and what he has said in regards to the PGA Tour after he decided to go to play on LIV Golf. But I thought this might be a possibility after what he said in Dubai. First off, he played beautifully there. There's a world-class event that he won. But for him to say, the biggest quote I heard that week was, "We all know the PGA Tour is the best tour in the world." I was like, whoa. To hear that from Patrick Reed, that means he has a desire to come back out here and play on the PGA Tour. How intense is that desire? Would it be intense enough for him to walk away from some guaranteed money on LIV? Well, the answer there is yes. And for the PGA Tour to forge a pathway for Patrick Reed, who is a character, love him or hate him when he was out here on the PGA Tour, he is quite a draw. People are interested in what Patrick Reed does on the golf course. For them to offer that pathway to Patrick Reed to come back onto the PGA Tour is pretty surprising. But at the same time, I also think it is very savvy by the tour to get one of what you could call a premier player from LIV and a guy who can move some needles if he's in contention. To have him back out here competing on the PGA Tour was very savvy and very smart.
Todd, it's also that the PGA Tour is getting back a guy who's still actually very competitive. Obviously, he won in Dubai last week, but he was very, very close to winning the Masters last April as well, that Rory McIlroy won. I'm curious what you think the reaction's going to be in the locker room here, particularly if you focus in on the penalties. A lot of guys, when Koepka was announced as coming back, they said, OK, well, there is a financial penalty there. That's clear. In the Patrick Reed case, he's not going to be eligible for equity for 5 years. That kind of turns on whether or not you think that equity is real money or a real penalty for these guys. There's no charitable contribution here from Reed at all. Do you think the locker room sentiment is going to be somewhat more divided on this one, just in terms of what the actual sanctions are that are applied to a Patrick Reed?
That's a good question. First and foremost, when Patrick Reed left to go play LIV Golf, the turnover out here on the PGA Tour has been close to 30%. So there's a close to a third of the players who've never interacted with Patrick Reed. So you consider that. Secondly, yes, he wasn't liked. I don't know if that's the proper term, but he was isolated when he was out here. And he was quite controversial. I mean, as a matter of fact, 5 years right here at this very event, if you remember, we had a controversy surrounding him picking up a ball in the rough to see if there's mud on it. And there was some question as to whether or not he was doing something illegal, but the PGA Tour and the rules officials exonerated him. He did not do anything illegal, but it caused a buzz. I don't think it would be as welcoming a return as I have seen from PGA Tour members in regards to Brooks Koepka, but I'm not sure. I do want to give Patrick Reed the benefit of the doubt. Patrick Reed is closer to 40 than he is 30 now. Maybe it was a learning experience, a time to have some maturity by going to LIV to reevaluate where he is and what he wants his legacy to be. And maybe he, like Brooks, will come out here to the PGA Tour and have conversations with players, talk to them, anybody who's got some friction in regards to him returning and why he left. Maybe he's thinking about doing that. So I think initially, once the news buzzes around the golf course and in the locker room that Patrick Reed is coming back to the PGA Tour, I think that will be a bigger shock, or at least as big a shock to the membership in regards to Patrick Reed coming back compared to Brooks Koepka, for sure. So I can't wait to go out and talk to some of these players and get their feelings.
We're watching Brooks Koepka right now playing his practice round, and this breaking news of Patrick Reed returning to the PGA Tour. Todd, I'm curious, in your mind, how vulnerable has LIV become, and how aggressive should the PGA Tour be in pursuing other players that may want to leave LIV?
Well, let's think about this. You've got Brooks Koepka, who is obviously a superstar. The PGA Tour is marketing him as such this week as he returns back to the tour here at Torrey Pines. He leaves LIV Golf, a captain. Yet Patrick Reed saying those comments after winning in Dubai against a stacked field, again, saying that the PGA Tour is the best field, or best tour in the world. Those two things happening. I can tell you for sure there's been some tightening of the purse strings on the LIV Golf Tour. So the messaging to the fans, for sure, to have stars go to play at LIV Golf and say, this is not right for me, I'm going to come back to the PGA Tour, it's pretty loud. that the PGA Tour is a far superior product than LIV Golf. And the messaging to the players that are competing at LIV Golf speaks volumes too. Because now, again, you've got stars wanting to return back to the PGA Tour. And I'm just assuming that Patrick Reed and Brooks Koepka are not the only two that are thinking about coming back to the PGA Tour. I know there is a possibility that Bryson or Cam Smith or John Rahm could come back. I'm not sure that they will because they're under contract. But Bryson DeChambeau is now a big figure in the world of golf. He has so much leverage considering he's in the final year of his contract. What will he do? Will he want to go back to LIV, probably get a big payday? Or is he more concerned about what his legacy will be on what Patrick Reed called the best tour in the world and wanting to compete on the PGA Tour? So there's a lot of things that will unfold over the next 6 to 9 months that will really shape the landscape of golf.
And Todd, I think it's hard to overstate the value of having a guy who does kind of roil the waters or create friction out there on the PGA Tour. He was one of the most talked about golfers in the game in the years before he went to LIV, not necessarily always for particularly positive reasons. And when you have an era where you have this kind of cleaner than clean figure like Scottie Scheffler dominant in the game, I think you could probably add a little bit more spice to the mix for the product. But I was struck by the last couple of days, even when you go back to Brooks Koepka's statement when he was coming back and then his performance yesterday in the press conference, the word humility kept coming up a lot. People pointed out to how he seemed to have a different perspective, a certain gratitude for coming back to the PGA Tour. There's none of that in Patrick Reed's statement. There's not one ounce, there's not one sentiment of humility in that statement or thanking anyone for the opportunity of opening the door for him again. So I'm not necessarily buying the argument that he's changed just by aging, but you have to think that the players are going to realize that having this guy back in an entertainment product is ultimately going to make it a more entertaining product, and that presumably raises the value of their equity.
Eamon, there's a reason that professional wrestling has been so successful for decades. It's because you have a hero, a babyface, and you've got a villain or a heel. And when those two meet in the ring, everybody wants to watch. And we lost a lot of heels to LIV Golf. But now we're getting some of them back. And one of the biggest is Patrick Reed. And when you have conflict or controversy out on the PGA Tour, or any sport for that matter, or politics or whatever, that's why soap operas are so popular too. When you have conflict, people want to watch. And when Patrick Reed was out here in contention, whether you rooted for him or rooted against him, people were watching. And I think the same will be true if Patrick Reed comes out here and puts himself into contention. Now, I don't know what kind of persona he has now. I briefly spoke with him at the Masters last year when he was in contention. I don't think he's going to come out here with a lot of bravado and try not to say the wrong things and be calculated. But I mean, I think it's a bonus in having Patrick Reed back. To your point, it's going to make the product much more entertaining. Of course, he's got to do something with his game as well. Well, you know, he's eligible to come back. You heard the date, late August. But if he's going to try to get back and get a membership on the PGA Tour, it's going to take some work. He's going to have to really play well on the DP World Tour. And yes, he could come back in the fall events, but let's not forget the bigger events running up to the Race to Dubai, the season-ending event on the DP World Tour. Patrick Reed may have to play in those events to secure a top 10 eligibility to get membership on the PGA Tour, meaning he may not play in fall events on the PGA Tour in a sponsor's invite because he's trying to secure membership on the DP World Tour through the top 10 window there. So it'll be interesting to see the route that Patrick Reed chooses to try to get membership on the PGA Tour for 2027. But when he comes back out, I think people will be watching, and love him or hate him, I think he's a benefit for the PGA Tour.
The PGA Tour as Days of Our Lives, General Hospital as the world turns, and maybe WWE as well. We appreciate Todd Lewis reporting from just outside San Diego on this Wednesday. And when we come back, 2014 European Ryder Cup captain, our colleague Paul McGinley on Patrick Reed and his future on the PGA Tour and the DP World Tour as well. We're joined now by our colleague, Paul McGinley, the 2014 European Ryder Cup captain. Of course, our colleague on Live From. Great to see you. This has been a busy month of January. Reaction to Patrick Reed and his return eventually to the PGA Tour.
Yeah, hi, guys. I don't think it's a massive surprise. I think it's a continuation of the shots that were fired quite strongly with Brooks Koepka coming back. That opened up the door. Pat Perez coming in then behind, and although nothing has been said publicly about that, it's quite clear he's somewhat serving a suspension at the moment and probably will come back to the Champions Tour in time. And now the next level again down with bigger restrictions are going to be the likes of Patrick Reed. And if somebody else should come in behind that who mightn't have the stature of Patrick Reed, there could be even more restrictions like that. So it's quite clear there's a formula there for having guys back, and this is a continuation of it. And it's a new strategy, you'd have to say, very clearly under Brian Rolapp.
Paul, there's a meeting today, actually, of the official World Golf Ranking Board, and there's a lot of speculation that LIV might obtain some world ranking points, even if it's slightly less than they want at some point in the very near future. That was something that Greg Norman and even his successor, Scott O'Neill, have put forward as a kind of almost a panacea for the LIV Tour, that we will be legitimised, that you can make your way into majors by this. But the Reed jump would suggest that the guys don't necessarily buy that argument, that the model, the competitive model going forward for LIV, is actually going to be any better than what they've had for the last 3 or 4 years, when it's turned out to be a fairly failed enterprise.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing, Eamon, more than anything else. You know, there's no metric out there, unless you look very hard and really twist it hard, to say that LIV idea of team events and what they do is a tremendous success. There's no ignition really from the public in terms of viewing figures, you'd have to say. And although commercially they seem to be able to say, yeah, we've got these new company in or that company in, but you know, I think a lot of those are linked to an involvement and an appetite to get involved with Saudi and through PIF in that way, and the gateway they've been told to go is through LIV. So it has to. It's hard to make an argument that the LIV idea has really worked. And I think players are realizing that. We're seeing pretty poor performances overall from LIV players in major championships competitively over the last few years. They've been excluded from Ryder Cups as well, too. You know, or potentially will be excluded from Ryder Cups. So it's becoming clear that maybe there's not a lot of longevity in this. Having said that, you know, you'd have to think the likes of Patrick Reed, who's coming back with $40 or $50 million in his back pocket, and he's set outside for what, 3 years, 3.5 years, and coming back in the fourth year. It's not a bad, you know, a lot of people will look at that and think, you know, that was the right call. It was the right thing to do. Brooks Koepka the same. He's coming back with probably over $100 million in his back pocket. And really, what has he lost? He still won a major while he was playing on LIV. And he's coming back with $100 million more in his back pocket, which, you know, he probably would not have done had he stayed on the PGA Tour. So, you know, there's different ways of looking at it. Like a lot of these things with LIV over the last few years, when you pull the thread on one thing, you can look at it in so many different perspectives.
This is, of course, the baby of Yasser Al-Rumayyan, who runs the Public Investment Fund of Saudi Arabia, Paul. He's very much wedded to the idea of team golf. Now, clearly, they didn't prioritise Patrick Reed if he was allowed to go out of contract and hadn't been re-signed for the league this year. But it does create this narrative now that quality players, competitive players, are leaving Yasser's product. What do you think the response is, or does this continue until someone in a position of power just says to Yasser, enough, stop spending your money on this?
Yeah, I think so. Again, unless the metrics change, Eamon, and we're not seeing the metrics being really strong from a commercial point of view. At this moment in time, and I've said this a number of times before, and you know, obviously closely linked with the DP World Tour and have a good bit of insight what's going on the PGA Tour, there is no tour at the moment that is thriving in this divided sport that we have. Nobody is making money. Nobody is working well within their business model. The PGA Tour are looking at ways to reinvent themselves with a shorter schedule, to try to increase the money coming in, to try to increase the business model. The DP World Tour are relying heavily on the strategic alliance with the PGA Tour. And then, of course, LIV is, you know, got unlimited funds that are coming from PIF to support it. So nobody is comfortably within their business model at this moment in time. Something has to give here. And, you know, like I've said from the start, it's hard to back against corporate America and the traditions and the history of the PGA Tour. And at this moment in time, it's looking like that is, you know, is the place that's going to win out ultimately. But having said that, as the point that I just made earlier, where is the downside for a Tom McKibben, for example, who's 23 years of age, coming over to play on the DP World Tour with one of those, or sorry, on the PGA Tour with one of those 10 spots? It would have been very difficult, only 100 to keep their card now, for him to go through a whole season on the PGA Tour, equip himself into a new country, a new culture, a new form of golf, new styles of golf courses against, you know, guys that are well equipped and really, really high standard on the PGA Tour. The chances of him coming over as one of those 10 cards and keeping his card on the PGA Tour was going to be quite slim, to be quite frank. He's gone over to live. He's probably made himself already 25, 30 million and counting. He could well come back in a year, 2 years' time, now that the gateway seems to be quite clear for anybody to come back in time. And he'll come back with $40, $50 million in his back pocket. He's not even 25 years of age at that stage. And then he resumes, you know, his PGA Tour status. So you look upon it that way. If you look at it from a financial point of view, a lot of these young players will be appetized to say, OK, well, maybe not the risk of going to live where it was once called an outline, a lifetime ban, is not there anymore. And maybe I'll go over there for a few years and I'll fill my pockets and come back at 25, 26 years of age and go. So, as I say, when you pull a thread on one thing, it's amazing how it can unravel and see it in different ways. And what we have learned more than anything else in the last few years, players are going to do what is best for them. Not any loyalty to anybody. It's going to be what's best for them.
I'm curious if that thread will continue to be pulled, Paul, whether it was family time or missing the PGA Tour or competition or missing playing specific golf courses. Brooks Koepka and Patrick Reed have made huge decisions. My question, Paul, is do you think they're alone or do you think there will be other LIV golfers, whether it's Rahm, DeChambeau, Cameron Smith or somebody else, saying, you know what, these two big fish have fled the pond. I want to do the same.
I think it depends on where they are in their careers. You know, the guys who are in their late 40s and going into their 50s, they're quite happy and live. You know, they can't believe the luck that they're getting paid the kind of money they are at this stage in their career. And they obviously want to try to build a franchise and maybe have some value in that franchise. So they won't be interested in coming back, even to play in the Champions Tour, because the reward is not that big in relative terms to what they're able to do on live. But as you go down to the competitive guys, as I say, the young guys that have moved over, and we've seen a few more young guys move over this year, as they come to the end of their contracts, you know, with their pockets filled full of money, they will think, you know what, now I want to resume and be a competitor again. And it's going to be somewhat easier because I'm going to have so much more money in my back pocket. I'm not having to beat myself up in terms of, you know, worrying about the finances. And I can focus completely on being a competitor. And remember, professional golfers think that way, too. You know, as much as we're all out there competing and want to win big titles as well, too, it's important to make sure the bills are paid. And LIV has given them a phenomenal opportunity to make a huge amount of money. Of course, they could still make it on the PGA Tour, but it's a lot more difficult to make it there than it is on LIV.
Paul, we've been talking about what the reception might be in the locker room on the PGA Tour because of what a polarizing character Patrick Reed has been over the years. In a broader sense, what's the reaction like in locker rooms on the European Tour? Because it seems as though the LIV guys just have somewhat unfettered access over there. That can't sit. And obviously, Patrick Reed has said, well, you guys are going to be my pathway back to earning even better status on the PGA Tour with one of those 10 cards. That can't sit necessarily well with players over there.
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak for all the players over there, but if I'm a player, you know, mid-table player on the PGA, on the DP World Tour, of course I'm thinking that way. You know, are they really benefiting the business model over there on the DP World Tour? That's what they will be asking. You know, certainly Bryson is a needle mover. John Rahm is certainly a needle mover when he comes over and plays the events, and, you know, Tyrrell Hatton. But as it goes down the food chain a little bit, does that really make a big difference to the quality of sponsors that we can attract, the fields that we have, the quality of fields we have? And they're looking to say, well, you know, a lot of guys who are loyal to the DP World Tour are not getting spots because of the LIV guys, because, again, going back, you pull the thread and so many things open up, Eamon, and you look at the guys who go to LIV at this moment in time, it's not a massive risk as a young player to go to LIV, because you can go to LIV on a 2 or 3 year contract. You can pick up $30, $40, $50 million. You can play the best events on the DP World Tour if you have status, and still obviously play the Ryder Cup, as we saw with John Rahm and Tyrrell Hatton last year. And then at the end of your contract, 3 years with $40, $50 million in your back pocket, you can say, you know what, now I'm going to resume. I'm going to sit out a year. I'm going to play the DP World Tour for a year, which Patrick Reed will do, which is not a big sufferance with the quality of tournaments that we have, and come back and play in the PGA Tour again with your pockets full. So, you know, this is the way the players are thinking. As I say, they are going to be thinking from a selfish point of view. It's not about loyalty. They're independent traders. They keep talking about that. An independent trader means I'm going to do what's best for me.
Paul, you captained against Patrick Reed in 2014 in Scotland. Everybody has an opinion on Patrick Reed. You've been in banquets with him and dinners with him. You had the game plan against him. Who is the PGA Tour getting back? Who is Patrick Reed in your mind?
Well, first of all, he's a fantastic golfer, Damon. I've always loved watching him play. I think the golf club fits naturally in his hand. When he addresses the ball, he looks so comfortable. When he addresses chipping and putting, the club looks like an extension of his hand. So technically, I think he's a fantastic player. I think, you know, he's somewhat of a pantomime villain, and I think golf needs that. You know, he does create controversy wherever he goes. He does create debate wherever he goes. And you know, you need that in the game, you know, and Brian Rollup will know that this is an addition back to the PGA Tour. It can't all be everybody, you know, everybody Mr. Popular. There's got to be a few bad guys in the middle of it. And having Patrick back in there, and he relishes that role, by the way, I think will be good. And, you know, and now he's going to be open again, too, to potentially playing for America President stroke Ryder Cup in the future as well. You know, who knows what the future is going to hold for Patrick Reed. But, you know, at this moment in time, you could make an argument, as I say, go back to pulling that thread again, Damon, you could make that argument that Patrick Reed was a smart guy here. You know, a guy who went over for 3 or 4 years, he filled his pockets full of a load of money. He still got access to major championships during that time. He played the very best events in the DP World Tour, winning a big one last week. And now he's going to come back after a year to play on the PGA Tour. And you could say the same about Brooks Koepka, who got paid over $100 million. And he still won a major championship when he was over there playing on LIV. He got tired of it, and he's come back. He's paid a $5 million slap on the wrist to charity, and that's about it. Okay, he can put in some riders. He misses out on FedEx money and all of that, but that's kind of a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush, and he's got over $100 million in the bank, and that's certainly a bird in the hand.
Isn't that an acknowledgement, though, Paul, that these guys have played the Saudis for suckers? That, yeah, we'll take your money now for a couple of years, but none of them actually think this is a long-term bet?
Yeah, I'm sure the Saudis are thinking that way. Absolutely. I heard you say the point earlier, Eamon, and you're absolutely right. The leverage that the players had on day one against the PGA Tour to go over to LIV, now the boot's going on the other foot, and now the Saudis are realising that these players are out to look after themselves. And the fact that there's leverage in the game at the moment where they can play LIV off against the PGA Tour, that puts them in a very, very strong position. Whereas that leverage goes, in other words, if LIV falls into the PGA and some kind of a merger happens, well, that puts the power back in the administrators of the game and away from the players. And that will be a seismic change should that happen. But at this moment in time, with two main competitive tours in play here with unlimited funds, certainly from the Saudi side, and the PGA Tour have pretty much matched that, you'd have to say, without the upfront payments, that's a great scenario for players, agents at the moment. And anybody who's working off a player at the moment or working off the percentages at the moment in the game, whether it be a coach or whether it be a caddy, you know, it's been a great 4 or 5 years where there's been an absolute windfall of money towards them.
Paul, we appreciate a few minutes. We're going to ask you to stick around and come back to you in just a little bit. Great to have the thoughts and perspective of our colleague, 2014 European Ryder Cup captain Paul McGinley. Let's remind you of Patrick Reed's career bio, 9-time winner, as we said, on the PGA Tour, 4-time winner of the DP World Tour. That includes that Masters in 2018. You see his handiwork in the Ryder Cup, 14, 16, and 18, and, of course, the last 3.5, 4 years playing with LIV Golf. For more perspective, we turn to our CNBC Markets correspondent, Dominic Chu. Dom, great to see you on this Wednesday. We've asked you about the impact of Brooks Koepka to the PGA Tour from a business standpoint. How about the return of Patrick Reed?
I mean, this is all about characters, right, guys? And kind of what Paul was speaking about before, this idea that you have independent contractors within the world of golf. And Patrick Reed is a character. He's a person who draws a good amount of attention, both on the positive side, both on the negative side. He's been a lightning rod in terms of, you know, Ryder Cup performances. He's been a true, true kind of, I guess, figurehead for just kind of the kind of player that brings attention to the game. And for that reason, much like Brooks, maybe not the major championship resume that Brooks Koepka has, but certainly one that is backed by a lot of wins on the PGA Tour. You point out 9 of them, right, and a Masters tournament win. This is a big deal for the PGA Tour. This does bring a lot more of that attention back to the tour. This does enhance the product. We've talked a lot about this notion that Brooks Koepka's return to the PGA Tour enhances the product. But there's also a lot of conversation these days about what it means overall for the tour to have these guys coming back. And we talk about the commercial aspect of it, right? Tour sponsors are a huge part of the game. Being able to kind of grow the profile of the PGA Tour is contingent, commercially speaking, on a lot of financial backers on the corporate side of things. If these corporations who are part of this tour ecosystem are starting to see some momentum positively from the likes of people like Brooks Koepka and Patrick Reed coming back, maybe that does really enhance the tour product, both monetarily from a sponsorship standpoint and a purse standpoint, a compensation standpoint, but also a better fan experience as well. So with all of that in mind, this maybe isn't so far out of the realm of reason, especially because Brooks Koepka kind of set the precedent, and maybe there are those conversations happening among some of the golfers out there who have gone to the live side of things about maybe what the best decision for them and their teams will be in the coming weeks and months. So that's going to be something to watch develop over the course of the next few months here, guys.
Don, what do you think it does in short term for the market perception of LIV? Because they haven't really signed any significant name player since John Rahm more than 2 years ago. Just this past offseason, they signed guys like Thomas Dietrich, Elvis Smiley. So you're getting guys who aren't well-known. You're losing guys who are well-known. Does that create this perception that LIV is on a downward trajectory?
I'm not sure, Eamon, I think it's a little bit early to say that there's a downward trajectory for LIV because of this right now. What we do know is that there are certain brand names that feel as though they want to reevaluate their status and what their situations are with that LIV Golf Tour. Just to be back on the PGA Tour, it's a place, by the way, that is familiar, right, for people like Brooks Koepka, that's familiar for people like Patrick Reed. They understand what the workings are like, despite some of the changes that have been happening as of late. They kind of understand the product. They understand what the ecosystem is like. With LIV, even having been there for a few years, there is still a huge evolution that's happening over there right now with regard to what they're trying to do for the overall product. We just heard, you know, earlier today that they signed a commercial agreement with Rolex. There are some questions about what that commercial agreement kind of looks like long term. But there's also this idea with regard to LIV that you want to see what they look like with regard to their evolution in the next couple of years. We know that they're trying to put together those 72 hole tournaments now, 4 rounds, right? They want to start looking at the idea of getting official world golf ranking points for some of those players because of the format changes and everything else. But with those unknowns in play right now, I'm not sure if some players just feel as though they want to go back to some of that familiarity. The brand side of things, I think it's going to take a while for them to try to figure it out, Eamon. And to your point, and to Paul's point before, you are talking about the Saudi Private Investment Fund. They do have a lot of resources behind them. And those commercial agreements that they can ink may help to serve improve that profile over time. It's a little early, I think, in my mind to just say that the tour at LIV is on a downward trajectory just because of two folks. Now, if this becomes a broader trend, then you can maybe start to have some of that speculation about whether or not there is a brand kind of awareness issue between the PGA Tour side of things and the LIV Golf Tour side of things as well.
2 players gone and $8 billion gone at this point. It's a business story, it's politics, it's personalities. We appreciate your insight on this, Don. We look forward to continuing this conversation.
Thanks, guys.
And Rex Hoggard will join us right after this break as we dig in more on the news that Patrick Reed is on his way back to the PGA Tour.
Let's continue this conversation right now and bring in the members of the Golf Channel podcast, Rex Hoggard and Ryan Lavner, on this Wednesday. Rex, I'll start with you. You've been following this story for the last several years about the PGA Tour and LIV. You reported on Brooks Koepka's return a couple of weeks ago. Did you have any indication that this story regarding Patrick Reed returning was around the bend?
I wish I could say I did, Damon, but I absolutely did not. And it is interesting. Over the last few days, really since Sunday, when Patrick Reed won in Dubai, made the comments that he does not have a contract with LIV Golf going into this year, and everything he said about the PGA Tour, I've had a conversation with a lot of tour officials and tour players over the last two or three days just about the idea that if you're Brian Rolapp, the CEO of the PGA Tour, and you're sitting in your office on Sunday evening and you hear that, and you probably think twofold. One, you can strengthen your product by bringing someone like Patrick Reed back. And you're going to. He's a major champion. I think Todd Lewis did a good job of explaining why he would be important to the ecosystem, because every good story needs an antagonist and a hero. And I think it's pretty clear that Patrick has been an antagonist most of his career. The other half of that equation is you could hurt LIV Golf by taking away one of their assets, however incremental that would be. So it's been a conversation I've had with players over the last few days. It is interesting. When you look at Brooks Koepka coming back, I think by and large, most players embrace the idea that him coming back was good for business, whether if you agreed with it or not. I got the impression that players aren't exactly on board when it comes to Patrick Reed on that front. Keep in mind, he did not go quietly when he left the PGA Tour. There were lawsuits against the tour, against individual players, subpoenas served to Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy, the media. He didn't go quietly, and I think that's going to be difficult for Patrick when he finally comes back in the fall, because he will have a lot more to smooth over than Brooks does.
Which, of course, assumes that he has any interest in smoothing things over. Ryan, what's the... Where's the line where, how many is too many in terms of players making their way back? Are they creating a pathway here and signaling that for anyone who had status, who wants to come back, that here's how it can happen for you? Or is it simply the case where it has to be someone that they can point to and say, this guy is actually going to make our business better and you need to suck it up?
Well, I think they've already made that line of demarcation, haven't they? With the returning member program versus what will be a past champion category, with Patrick Reed going in. I think it's also important to keep in mind, guys, that even though the PGA Tour, it seems like they're either changing rules or moving goalposts, there are still some meritocratic elements to the pathway that the PGA Tour has aligned here. Patrick Reed does have past champion status, a 9-time winner on the PGA Tour, but he can improve the status that he has based on how he performs this season on the DP World Tour, trying to get among that top 10 in the season-long Race to Dubai standing. So I think it's going to be very interesting for Brian Rolapp, and there's certainly a line that he needs to thread here, because we don't know what the contract details for Patrick Reed were. We don't know what he was offered versus what he was potentially seeking. But it is notable that a player of Patrick Reed's ilk and his reputation was willing to forgo potentially 7 or 8 figures to get back to what he believes is the best tour in the world. And so if you're Brian Rolapp, you probably need to sell the PGA Tour membership as co-owners of the PGA Tour. Why the dynamics of bringing a player like Patrick Reed, who has a little bit of competitive friction to him, as well as having indisputably the best circuit in the world, is so important. And so, yes, it's Brooks Koepka right now. It's going to be Patrick Reed in August, but establishing a pathway to embolden both of those ideas and strengthen both of those ideas, I think, is a more powerful weapon here.
Lav, I want to come back to you on something. This feels like another pretty big chess move by the PGA Tour. The PGA Tour is keeping itself in the headlines with Brooks Koepka and now Patrick Reed. I'm just curious what you've learned about Brian Rolapp in this new era PGA Tour that seems to be, you know, front foot, elbows out, you know, red lights and eyes on me.
I mean, he's not hampered. He's not damaged by the scars of the previous civil war and the previous turf war that has existed between the PGA Tour and LIV Golf since LIV launched in 2022. And I think that's very powerful. And Brian Rolapp, coming from the NFL, the most powerful, most influential, most significant sports entity that we have in the United States, understands a couple of things. He understands popularity. He understands reach. He understands rivalries. He understands competitive friction. All of those pieces, you know, sort of add into what is the big thing, which is the competitive product. And so everything that Brian Rolapp is doing, the rumored changes to the PGA Tour schedule, it's all under the baseline assumption that we need to do what is right by our fans and what is most interesting to our fans. You talk about reunification and bringing some of the best players from LIV Golf back to the PGA Tour. The PGA Tour's own survey last year said overwhelmingly that is what PGA Tour fans are asking for all of the best players to play together again. They've already made one step with Brooks Koepka. They've now outlined a pathway for Patrick Reed and other players who may want to follow suit over the next couple of years. All of that is going back to appeasing the fan. That's a lesson from the NFL, and now it seems to be applied for the PGA Tour as well.
Rex, how do all of Liv's lickspittles actually rationalize this one? Because they've been like rubber men over the years, contorting themselves that every negative can somehow be turned into a positive. But when you have a drift of recognizable names leaving and relatively unrecognizable names coming in, it doesn't create a narrative that there's an upward trajectory on this project, no matter how much they'd like to believe that's the case.
Yeah, I don't know how they spin this one, Eamon, because it came right on the heels of Brooks Koepka. And by all accounts, Patrick Reed started asking questions right about the time the announcement was made that Brooks Koepka was coming back and the PGA Tour had created this returning member program. But real quick, to Lav's point, I think it's important to point out that a lot of players looked at the Brooks Koepka return as sort of a loophole in the policy. They created this very specific carve-out for these four players in a two-week window. That's not the case at all when you look at Patrick Reed. There's already three other players who are on the exact same pathway as Patrick Reed. Hudson Swafford, Kevin Na, and Pat Perez are all essentially serving one-year suspensions, and they'll come back with whatever status they have. The only difference with P. Reed is he's a major champion. We talked about how he fits into the storyline of the PGA Tour if he does return, and he's going to have much, much better status. It seems really likely he's going to finish in that top 10 on the DP World Tour and get a full card starting next year. But this is a pathway the Tour had already created. They just slotted Patrick Reed in there, which means they can slot anyone else in there as we go down the line.
Fascinating to see who else follows Brooks Koepka and Patrick Reed. Great to have the thoughts of our dynamic duo, Golf Channel Podcast, Rex and Lav. Take a look at Patrick Reed's major championship finishes in 2025. Of course, won that Masters in 2018. Came very close last year, finishing third, just outside that Rory McIlroy, Justin Rose playoff. Missed the cut at the PGA Championship. Yes, there's his most notable win, beating the likes of Rory McIlroy at 2018 Masters. The green jacket, Patrick Reed, one-time Captain America, anti-hero, is coming back.
And we're joined now by Brandel Chambly. And Brandel, what's your initial reaction to Patrick Reed coming back to the PGA Tour? Seems to be a very different category and a very different set of circumstances than we saw with a generational talent, to use Tiger Woods' phrase, with Brooks Koepka a couple of weeks ago.
Another great day for the PGA Tour. Another bad day for a tour that's had really nothing but bad days since its inception. As Liv has gone along, as the PGA Tour has gone along, I think there's probably been a lot of talk about bringing the best players in the world all together again. But when you talk about that, you're really only thinking about four or five guys. You know, you were thinking about Brooks Koepka. You were thinking about John Rahm. You're thinking about Bryson DeChambeau. And yes, you're thinking about Patrick Reed. There was a sense that the tour was missing some of those players that were rough around the edges. You could call them black hats if you wanted, but the tour is more interesting when you do have some of this friction. Paul McGinley was just talking about rivalries, and while rivalries, I would differ with Paul. I think rivalries are important, but if you look at sports that are the PGA Tour that's grown, and when it's grown, it grew under Bobby Jones, it grew under Arnold Palmer, it certainly grew under Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods had no rivalries. It was unbelievable watching somebody play this sport at the highest level, at a level that nobody had ever seen before. It's true of other sports. I mean, did the New England Patriots have rivalries? Did Secretariat have a rivalry? We talk about sublime performances that absolutely blow our mind. The next best thing is rivalries, no doubt about it. Right now, Scottie Scheffler is far and away the best player in the world, and that's true even when the LIV players come back and play in major championships. But it is nice to have people come back that are a little rough around the edges. And there is sort of a Rory-Patrick Reed rivalry that, you know, sort of maybe it's been dormant for the last few years. Maybe that comes back. Brooks Koepka and Rory had a little rivalry. Maybe that does come back. But there's no question that they're interesting players. And it's a bad day for LIV and a great day for the PGA Tour.
Randall, there are rivalries, there are also rules and regulations. Is there any danger in bringing back a player who, let's be honest, has had his share of PGA Tour controversies, whether it be in a waste bunker in 2019 at the Hero or in the rough in 2021 at Torrey Pines?
Yeah, I mean, he comes with a bit of baggage, doesn't he? I used to joke and still do joke that he competed on these tours and seemed oblivious to the fact that there were cameras covering every move they made. He says he's a traditionalist. He's talked about how PGA Tour is where he needs to be. People leave in places of employment. If you look at the statistics, people leave places of employment not necessarily and certainly not primarily for money. They leave because they don't like the culture, they don't like the leadership, and they don't like how they're valued. So when you sort of extrapolate that to the PGA Tour, you think about, where do you want to play? You want to play in places where it's the most competitive, where there is a sense of history and legacy. And when Patrick Reed says he's a traditionalist, that's what I hear from him, that he wants to play in tournaments that have historical weight to them. You go to LIV, there is, based upon the fact that almost nobody's watching, there's no weight to those events. They haven't galvanized any sort of interest amongst the fans. You want to come and you want to compete at the highest level? Well, it's good for Patrick Reed and it's good for the PGA Tour.
What do you think the reception will be among the players, Brandel, in terms of both the lack of a real financial or direct financial hit here? He's not part of the equity program for 5 years, and players will debate whether or not that's an actual out-of-pocket hit. But there's no charitable contribution in the way there was with the Koepka return. Plus, when you read the letter, the statement, the tone of it's quite different from Koepka's as well, in the sense that there wasn't much of an expression of gratitude to Brian Rolapp opening the door for him again.
Well, if the players believe in the equity program, then they certainly understand the real hit of dollars here, not being eligible for equity for 5 years. There is no other sport where the athletes own a share of the sport. In the NFL, there's 32 teams, 31 individual winners. The Green Bay Packers are community owned, but the athletes don't get to participate in the growing nature of the sport from an equity standpoint in any other sport but the PGA Tour. So if you're a PGA Tour player and you're one of the higher ranked players, I think you would fully understand the possibility of what this equity could mean. Let's say he continues to play great golf over the next 10 or 15 years, Patrick Reed. Well, his children and his children's children could have a stake in something that's worth tens of, if not hundreds of millions of dollars. If you look at the success of Brian Rolapp and his team while at the NFL, and you extrapolate any percentage of that to the PGA Tour over the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years, these are real dollars that you're talking about for Brooks Koepka and for Patrick Reed. But I think it speaks volumes about the way they feel about LIV, that they're willing to turn their back on all of that money and come back and play and suffer the fines on the PGA Tour just to play in a place where it matters, where they do get to week in and week out play at the highest level. If you're an athlete, the only real way to be competitive at the highest level and be consistent is to test yourself against the best athletes. Well, LIV, yes, okay, from the start, they got a couple of very good players from the PGA Tour, but they were never able to get 10, 15 of the top 15 players in the world. You were never looking at LIV and saying the bulk of the best players in the world were there. They got a couple of them, but just a couple. But they didn't have any farm system, any way of developing talent over there. And by the way, I mean, even if you're playing that tour, you realize it's a tour that is based upon invitation. You don't earn your way on to LIV. And when you're talking about a tour or any athletic endeavor that is that you ascend there by invitation, you know in your soul that you're playing in an exhibition. You're not really playing in a sport. How else could you explain the precipitous fall off of almost every single player On LIV, yeah, there's a couple exceptions, Bryson DeChambeau, and maybe you could throw in Patrick Reed because he, you know, look, he finished third in the Masters last year, fourth a couple of years ago. He just wanted to buy. Maybe his game hasn't fallen off to the degree that all the others did. But look at Brooks Koepka's game, how much it fell off. Look at Dustin Johnson. Dustin Johnson just played in Dubai, which wasn't a very strong field, by the way. Had a couple of good players. It wasn't the strongest field. Shot 74-74 and missed the cut. And Patrick Reed, in what, 4 years of playing LIV? 4 years and playing a tour that is that weak, won just one time. You want to come back and test yourself against the best players in the world. If you want to know just how good a player you are, how great an athlete you are, this is the tour, the PGA Tour. And it was nice to hear Patrick Reed say that the PGA Tour was the best tour in the world. He was stating the obvious, but I think, you know, that was him sort of declaring his allegiance to the PGA Tour and admitting tacitly, but admitting nonetheless, that he had made a mistake in going to LIV.
Randall, a couple of weeks ago, Brooks Koepka leaves LIV, calls Tiger Woods, you know, Brian Rolapp threads the needle, and he's back on the PGA Tour. You know, Patrick Reed back in August, another needle threaded. What have you learned about Brian Rolapp over these past few weeks about what he's willing to do? And what can we extrapolate about the meaning of his leadership?
I think most of these guys are huge football fans. They're huge sports fans. They pay attention. And, you know, it's very easy to connect the dots going backwards to the growth of the NFL and then extrapolate that to the next 5, 10, you know, 20, 30, 40 years on the PGA Tour. The purses have certainly grown exponentially over the last 4 years, but this equity program, the FedEx Cup bonus program, the way they've oriented, I think this is, it's clear. I think they went over there. They probably went over there out of curiosity. They went over there for money. They thought this tour is going to grow. It's going to be a real challenge to the PGA Tour. And I think in very short order, they realized, wait, nobody's watching us. Nobody cares about us. These tournaments have absolutely no meaning historically. It's empty. It's hollow. And meanwhile, whether they admit it or not, all these guys, they want to be talked about as great athletes. They want to, in the run-up to major championship, be considered the favorite. They want to be talked about, looked at, interviewed. And they might as well be in the witness protection program when they go play LIV events. They're gone. They're out of everybody's mind. They're out of everybody's sight. They come back for four majors a year, and most of them, come up and play in these major championships and play poorly because they're not being tested week in and week out against the best players in the world. And they're not being talked about, which adds to the excitement and the exhilaration and I think helps these players zero in and focus on what they need to do to play their best golf.
You want to play where there's buzz and excitement. I imagine there'll be a lot of both next week at the WM Phoenix Open, where we'll be doing our show, Golf Today. From there, we will see you on Golf Central next week. Brandel, thank you so much. Fellow major champ Jason Day at the Farmers gave his thoughts on Reed's return.
I just want your overall reaction to hear that Patrick Reed is coming back to the PGA Tour.
I think it's good that any guys that, I mean, I'm in maybe a different part of my career and a different part to what some of the other guys think. As a whole product, I think I spoke on this about Brooks last week. I think as a product, I think the more guys that have gone over that are able to come back, I think the better for the tour. The only problem is obviously trying to find spots for these guys that don't take away spots of, you know, certain individuals like the young guys that are coming up. I think they've taken care of that. The one thing that I probably don't like is the inconsistency of, now granted we are, it's, there's a lot of movement and it's very fluid in regards to the penalties that these guys receive. So, I don't know, like obviously to have Brooks back and to have some of these other guys back, it potentially, like the, you know, like the John Rahms and the Bryson DeChambeaus potentially, would be big. But I think the one thing that probably most guys miss that have gone across there is the competition that we have out here. And that's one thing, and I don't know if the Saudi, you know, the guys over in Saudi Arabia have worked out that it's not always about the money. And that us as competitors, that's kind of what we live and die by sometimes. And if you focus on that, essentially the money and all that stuff will come. I think sometimes we get a little bit blinded by it because, you know, if someone comes to you with a bag of money, you kind of lose sight of, you know, what holds a lot of your values. So with that being said, I think the more that these guys come back and play on the tour, I think the product itself is better. Then you can go to these, you know, sponsors and say, yeah, let's ask for more money and the signature events and all that stuff. Because the hard thing that we got into was we had these signature events, the fields were worse, and we asked the sponsors for more money. So it was just like that was a difficult one for me to kind of swallow, because I'm like, how do you say it's a better product? But long story short, I think it's a good thing that Patrick's essentially going to come back. I know that he's a competitor, and I know that, you know, I think he's great for the tour, regardless of what happens.
Do you think he will be received in the same manner as Brooks has been received, at least at what I have seen this week?
I haven't really seen a difference in how guys receive Brooks compared to like a Patrick Reed. I think, yes, we haven't seen Brooks. He's been playing on LIV for, you know, the last, you know, 3-4 seasons. I haven't got to say hello to him. It's been a while since I've talked to him, but it's just another week for us. Guys are trying to compete. Like, him being back is just he's a great player, don't get me wrong, but we got to focus on our games to try and prepare to try and win a tournament. So him being back is great for the tour, but for me, he's entered my mind to the point of, like, we're talking about it, but, you know, Patrick Reed would probably be the same. We're just out here trying to do a job and try and win tournaments and trying to secure, you know, our cards for next season or whatever it is. It's great that the guys are back. That's all. You know, I'm happy about that.
All right, final thing. From a personality perspective and from a game perspective, because they won in Dubai last week, what does Patrick Reed bring to the PGA Tour?
Well, you know, I think I've always got along great with Patrick. I think if you think about things that bring value, like if you're a, I heard a great quote from, I think, Dana White, like when if you're a fighter and you come out, they either cheer for you or they boo for you. That's kind of two good things in a sense. The person that goes, it walks out there and they don't really care about, that's what you don't want to be. Patrick has done some things that have potentially rubbed guys the wrong way out here, but he is a draw card. So he's a great competitor. He's a fierce competitor. So I think having his value to the point of, you know, obviously he won, you know, this event one time. He's a very strong competitor in that sense. So when I see him, like, obviously, like, I haven't seen Brooks this week. I think I'm going to welcome them back for no doubt, because I think, like I said before, it's a very easy decision for me to make, in my opinion, but for other guys, they may think differently. I think it's the more guys we welcome back from that tour, the better. It just slowly putting more and more of the dagger in the heart of the LIV Tour if that happens.